on Clipper Nation. It's me, William, the Opinion Uptight.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Woo!
Coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers content. Sorry, I got something stuck in my throat there. That was weird.
I'm glad you survived so we can do this episode.
Anyways, we're going to be kicking things off with a preview of tonight's action of the Clippers versus the Mavs in what might be the lone NBA game of the day.
I think it is.
Coming off of a
14-game slate on MLK Day. Happy MLK Day. We're recording this on
Happy MLK
Monday
Day.
Night.
Now a positive drought. So I hope everybody out there is watching this Clippers
yeah,
game.
For sure.
All eyes on us. We're going to get into what we need to do well to win this one, as well as a few things that could go wrong, and break down a couple key matchups that you want to look out for. And then today, it's Twitter Tuesday. Every single Monday, we ask for your questions on Twitter to get a chance to get featured on the show. Just drop a line.
Say what's
Clips,
up.
At Will Uptike, at Charles Mockler. If you want to make it on the show, preferably do it on Monday so it's ready for Twitter Tuesday. But you know, we're looking to correspond
for sure. We communicate either way. Yeah, no problem at all.
All days of the week. So we're gonna do that, and then do we have anything kicking around the Shamey store?
Dude, yeah, there's a bunch. So there, the Twitter timeline was chock. Today was just like the let's talk about trading Trez day. It was wild. It came out of nowhere.
I wish you could mute images, because I would mute any trade machine images.
Oh yeah, there was a lot of trade talks out there. We're gonna talk about that. The rumors, you know, maybe the idea of what it's gonna feel like. Kind of the act, looking at the picture of what letting Trez go means, which might happen. I don't know. And then of course, people were talking about trading for Chris Paul, which we definitely have to. That was definitely in the shaving drawer. Not a fan of that one?
No, that's absurd.
All right, let's get into this preview of the Clippers versus Mavs. It is the first night of a back-to-back for the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hate back-to-backs, I guess is the saying. We beat them in the only meeting of the season between us to this point. We were only missing Shamet. They were at full strength.
We held them under 100, which, you know, that's a true William Uptike victory.
That's an Uptike win. Kristaps Porzingis is hoping to return for the Mavs lineup in this game, so we won't really have any clarity on that until Tuesday morning. Mo practice, so, I mean, he's probably good to go. He's considered probable, but I have a feeling we'll see him in this game.
I mean, we're going to need him in this one.
Yes. And then PG is out. Probably timeline right now seems like he comes back against the Hawks, I think, on Wednesday it is, and Kawhi sits, right?
Yeah, let's hope.
Yeah. Very good call, actually.
Let's hope that
they both don't sit.
Yeah, let's hope that he's ready to go. We'll see. So let's get into what we need to do well in this one. I think we got to make the most of our three-point attempts.
Yeah.
The Mavs are coughing up the fifth stingiest three-point percentage to their opponents.
Hmm.
Opponents are shooting just 33% against them. Opponents are attempting around 33 three-point attempts a game against the Mavs.
Yeah.
Which is just outside the top 10 in the NBA. So, you know, they're pretty solid at running you off the line.
Yeah.
Coming into this one, we have shot, respectively in our last five games, 31, 32, 38, 33, and 39 attempts from three. So if you take out the outliers of that big, of those two almost 40 three-point attempt games,
we're like, 33 or 34.
We're shooting pretty much right in our bag for what they allow per game.
Yeah.
However, our percentage is bouncing back, but it's been a little
it's been a roller coaster.
we shot 32% as a team last game, which is like, you know, it's like average. It's fine.
You want it to be better. You're just happy it's not worse.
Exactly. You're happy it's not worse. Previously, before that, we knocked down 44% as a team. I don't expect that to happen on the road. First night of a back-to-back, 40%. Also not looking for that. But what I hope we can steer clear from is we had a 24% performance as a team and a 28% performance as a team. And
those valleys. You want to avoid just a true... You want an average night is...
And really, you know, with the way scoring is distributed on this team, it really boils down to two guys.
Yeah. Especially from the perimeter. Could see a hot Sham game.
Could see a hot Sham game. He was not one of the two guys I was thinking of.
No, same with me. That's why I was saying maybe he could help
he could,
the two guys.
If the other two aren't there.
Because we're talking Lou and Kawhi pretty much.
We're talking
right?
Lou and Kawhi.
With PG out.
Yes, in PG's absence. Kawhi has been shooting phenomenally lately.
Player of the week, Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, about
Western
time.
Conference. Yeah, damn straight.
What do you think we got to do well on this one?
So not, you know, kind of piggybacking off your 3-point attempts. I'm just going to nollie inward heel over to our perimeter defense has to be there.
Oh,
the whole game.
Couldn't agree more.
They are 29th in 2-point attempts, second in 3-point attempts a game. They're 8th in total 3-point percentage with 36%, which is good plus. They're also, so they don't take a lot of twos, like I just said. They're second to last, but they're 4th in 2-point percentage at 54%. So the twos they take, they tend to hit.
They take extremely efficient ones.
So having Mo back is gonna be big in this one. Luka averages 9 3-point attempts a game. Hardaway puts up 7, and of course, we all know the god Seth Curry on the bench.
Don't even need to talk about him.
But so in the last game that we played, where like you said, we held them under 100 points, they only shot 28% from three.
Gotcha.
Which feels like an outlier.
Yeah.
And if this looks like it did in the first half against the Pels, it could. It would be harder to climb back into this one.
Oh, I absolutely agree. They also take a lot of above the break threes versus like just kind of corner threes or like more assisted threes.
Which we've seen this team lose James Harden on. We've seen
So they do take more than us, and like a lot, like they do take many more than us unassisted. So the on the ball defense, like having Mo Harkless back, would be really huge.
That slow Luka step back.
Yeah. Yeah. And if, you know, if he's not available, it's going to come down to, you know, obviously Kawhi's going to have to continue to play great on both sides of the floor.
Yeah, that's going to be big.
What else do you think we got to do to win this one?
Disrupt their ball movement and be careful with ours.
Okay.
They're the number one team in turnovers. They only turn the ball over 12 times a game.
Wow.
According to Basketball Reference. We are 24th. So, you know. But we've been good these past couple games.
Our average also has gone down. We started the season around the 16 or 17 mark. We are down to a cool 15.
Yeah, and the past couple games have been a little encouraging. We managed to flummox them into 20 turnovers the last time we played, which again
massive.
Feels like an outlier.
Massive.
So that might not happen again, but if we win or tie the turnovers, I think we have a pretty good shot in this game.
Oh, I like it. So what could go wrong in this one? Man, I like just overall, I know that it's like a cliche because I always talk about it, but just the rebounding in general, this one.
You're all about rebounding and holding teams under 100 points. You'd be the most boring coach to play for.
You know,
you're like, we're doing box out drills always.
So this one, like our margin for error is pretty slim. We are 3rd and 4th in the league in total rebounding. With the Mavs, we're 3rd, they're 4th.
Yeah.
We're both hovering right around.
It's basically the exact same number, right?
Yeah, we're both hovering around that 48 rebounds a game mark. But you had some interesting notes specifically about the offensive glass.
They are, what is it, the number one offensive rebounding team in the league in terms of offensive rebounding percentage, which is the estimate of the percentage of available offensive rebounds.
They're grabbing the most.
Right at 25%.
Which?
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
They're 3rd in overall in offensive rebounds per game. So they could impose their will on the offensive glass. They have a bunch of guys who grab orbs. Dorian Finney-Smith and Dwight Powell each grab 2 a game. So our bench rebounding is going to have to be there. They do have a bunch of size. And then one thing that could go wrong, I just kind of mentioned in the last segment, they're the number one offensive rated team in the league.
Yeah.
So we can't do the like 3/4 off, 1/4 on thing.
Totally.
I don't think. You know, I would like to be pre-run if that is the case, but this is going to take a whistle-to-whistle effort.
So let's get into some key matchups. I want to kick one off with just like us versus the paint again. They have some sizable dudes, obviously with Kristaps out, that you know, that does take one person away. But when we beat them back in November, we outscored them in the paint by more than 20 points, or by exactly 20 points. I'd like to see that trend continue.
That's a big Trez game. So we need a big Trez game, I think, for that to happen, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be great.
Because they got Powell, who is big. They have, you know,
Maxi Kleba.
Yeah, your boy. and then they also have, you know, Boban.
Yeah, which is a matchup Boban versus our hearts. You know,
that's gonna be a tough one.
What's gonna happen if he takes the court and everyone just starts crying so much they can't see?
That could. I mean, if
it's
there's
hard to play if you can't see.
If there's a prop bet for that, I'll take it. Luka versus a ton of looks.
Okay.
In the first matchup, when we had Paul George, Mo, and Bev each kind of guarded him right around the 2 minute and 5 second mark. Like, it was right kind of the same amount of time. So we were switching a bunch. This worked. He finished 0 of 8 from 3 and had 7 turnovers. He finished, you know, 22-8-6. Still a good stat line.
Solid,
if you're looking at it. Still Luka.
Yeah.
So if Paul George can't go, there's probably going to be more Kawhi in this equation, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping Mo is good to go health-wise, that this won't cause too much, you know, consternation on the defensive end.
Totally.
And I'm not really sure. I don't know. In terms of Kawhi, they had Dorian Finney-Smith on him the majority of the last game.
Mm-hmm.
He shot 5 of 11. He had 28-8. So a good game for all intents and purposes. So if there's no Paul George, Kawhi's going to have to work. I mean, he's going to have to work really hard on this one if we kind of fall into that lull.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I expect them to throw some big bodies at him, try to make him uncomfortable, try to make him pass, try to make some other guys step up. So I like this idea that you put up here, bigs versus bigs.
yeah, it's like Zoo versus Powell, Trez versus Powell and Kleba. Like, I want to see a good Zoo. I want to see a bounce back Zubats game.
I would love
to see
a bounce back Zubats game. He finished just 57% from the floor in this last one. He had the worst plus minus of any starter.
He had the bunches of fouls.
He did have he nearly fouled out in that one. Grabbed only 7 boards, albeit in under 18 minutes of action. So it'd be good to see him get some more minutes in that one.
Yeah, useful minutes. And then we got to talk about our guy.
The God.
Yeah. What do you got for this one?
Seth Curry versus more time / just in general. Seriously, the dude might have cooked us if he played longer last game. He was 60% from the field and 60% from three. Not all of his attempts were from three, so that's...
Okay. Hey, whoa. You're preaching the choir here, man.
He had the third best plus minus of any Mav in that matchup, albeit in a loss. That's, you know, but still. And in my mind, he is truly a nightmare matchup for Lou Will.
You've talked about this.
He's a dogged defender, and Lou Will does not want to guard him.
We'll see. They got JJ Barea too. They have some Clippers killers on there.
Barea was great.
I'm excited to see Bev locked in on Luka. We're going to see a lot more of him without Paul George too. What's your prediction for this game?
Man, so our points per game is like so close to theirs. They're actually a little bit higher than us. I'm thinking we drop this game.
Oof.
I think it's close. I think 118-112. I think Mavs end up getting a big home dub.
Huh. I think we see a nice coalescence of Jermichael and Shamet. I think we get a good contribution from them. I think the bench crushes
guys. We didn't talk about that much at all.
I waited until just now just to drop it on.
Wow. People.
I think
it's just going off the rails, pulling out wild cards.
I think the bench really shows up in this one.
I like it.
I am really excited to see it. If we can mitigate some of the Clippers killers out there, it'll be okay. I think the Clippers win one. I think it's kind of rough. I think it's going to be maybe like 113-109 Clippers.
All right.
Coming up after these couple of live reads, we got no sound reads for y'all tonight. We got Twitter Tuesdays. But first, got to give a shout out to the Calm app. We talk a lot about physical fitness on this show. It is a basketball show. But there's another side to the game that's just as important.
Your mental.
Talking about your mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep meditation, is teamed up with former Cleveland Cavalier LeBron James to help you train your mind. Former Cleveland Cavalier LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body. You got to work it out. And Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, have less stress, and perform your best. For LeBron James, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. He says, getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind as a former Cleveland Cavalier. And if you head to calm.com/lockedonNBA, you'll get 40% off a Calm premium membership. For a limited time, Our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/lockedonNBA. And Will, what should we do this spring?
Hey, this spring, you should follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. You know why?
Why?
Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. Let me tell you why. You can follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. They got 10 stadiums, 15 MLB teams, 75-degree temperatures all day with 10 stadiums in Greater Phoenix, with all within 50 miles of the Greater Phoenix area.
Just like Morongo, the casino.
Yes, exactly like that. You can also check out amazing restaurants and bars nearby, including tons of craft breweries like Four Peaks, Angel's Trumpet Ale, and Goldwater Brewing Company.
Yes.
Enjoy live music from local and national artists. Explore museums featuring everything from native heritage to modern art to musical instruments from around the world. And Arizona is known for its incredible landscapes and thrilling outdoor adventures. Hit the road and explore Arizona's urban centers, ghost towns, artsy communities, and quirky outposts.
Oh, wow. What a day.
Hiking, biking, jeep tours, hot air balloons, skydiving, locked on favorite jet skiing.
Oh, yeah.
Or just taking in a sunset. No matter what you love to do, Arizona has you covered. Check off must-see destinations from your bucket list like the Grand Canyon, Monument Valley, Horseshoe Bend, and Tucson.
Tucson.
Glorious Tucson, Arizona. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. Visitarizona.com/springtraining.
Whew. Now that we got that out of the way, now that we can turn the lights back on in this place.
I mean.
Welcome to Twitter Tuesdays.
Hey.
Thank you so much for sending in questions. You can send them in every Monday at Locked On Clips. At Will Updike, at Charles Mockler.
We've never done a sound effect for this one.
There's no cool sound effects for tweets. It's always like a bird sound. Yeah, okay. Let's take some questions.
What about this one?
That's okay. That was a keyboard typing for those of you who knows what it was. Chris Merch asks, what would be our ideal trade to make? Do you want another 3-and-D wing, backup point guard, or backup center? At Love Clippers 1 adds on to this. Why do so many people want Dwayne Dedman on the Clippers? Is he really that good?
I think Dedman is good. I think that is an interesting fit. He didn't work out so well in Sacramento, but I was a fan of his game in Atlanta.
11-7 last year in 25 minutes a game, 38% from three on three attempts. Really fell out of the rotation this year. Him and the Kings are both down to part ways.
Yeah,
he's at 13 mil.
The Kings, I mean, just even in recent history, I feel like have kind of struggled with what they want to do with their bigs. yeah. Obviously, they just have a bunch of different options out there. I would have thought with Willie Cauley-Stein out of the way, he would have been firmly in this starting lineup. But
yeah,
you know, you got Giles, you got a bunch of other looks out there. You got Bagley.
What about Chris's question? Do you think it's the center, a backup point guard, or a 3-and-D wing? I'm not sure I'm into the Dedman trade.
Oh, personally.
The salary is kind of odd.
Personally, I'm not. I
agree with Love Clippers 1 as why do so many people want it. I think, kind of boredom. And I think people have kind of, and this kind of sucks. It doesn't seem like, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to take for a Zubat, minutes increase. Mm-hmm. So I think people are just like, fine, if we're not going to give Zubats more minutes, we might have to trade for and add a center. Because the health is kind of an issue if you're running two centers and one of them plays 18 straight minutes a lot of the time or something like that.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's where the center thing comes from. And I think that's what I would want to see added.
Interesting. I disagree on that. I'm fine with the center rotation pretty much as is. I'd like to see us get more experimental with the personnel that we have. Jamichael at the five.
Seems like you're very sick. Sick thoughts.
I have sick thoughts. I've given up on wanting to add another point guard to this. I think especially with the continuity.
I'm out on that.
With the
continuity. We're going to actually talk about one certain point guard coming up. But.
With the continuity issues that we've already had so far, I don't think throwing in another floor general in the mix is going to fit. I think it'd be really hard to find somebody who is going to play good defense to cover up for Lou Will and be a good facilitator and also be fine with not having the ball in their hands sometime.
And stay healthy.
And stay healthy.
And Bev is coming into his own a lot more in terms of the quote the docism of the true point guard.
I'm thinking if we pick somebody backup, up, it would be a backup.
Yeah.
So I guess that leaves me with still wanting a 3-and-D wing. Obviously, Arnovitz and Zach Lowe on their podcast floated the idea of Marcus Morris. I love that idea. I don't think that we have the assets to get a deal. That even feels like a little bit too high magnitude of a deal.
Yeah, they called him like a secondary player or something like that. And I was like, man, we have to lose a lot of depth for this so-called secondary guy or whatever it is.
But, you know, I still like the idea of adding someone who is offensively an upgrade from Mo Harkless that you're not going to see too much of a drop defensively.
For sure. It's an interesting question because it feels like the trade rumors are just getting, or they're swirling right now.
Totally. I mean, well, it's that time of year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Twitter user at Brady's a Fairy wonders, this is a bit of a Will question. Since Trez and Zoo can't guard the three, do you see more Green and Pat front courts when opposing teams go small or put stretch bigs on the floor? Seems to really work for us against Pels. Seemed to really work for us against Pels, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
I hope. I want it to happen. The issue with that Pels game was those weird Magruder minutes specifically. But no, I think I want to see more. I mean, sometimes we need the size.
I like this idea of more Green.
And if we're not going to run Zoo as much minutes and Trez is out there, we're just inherently always undersized at the five. So we, you know.
I like this idea of Green Pat. I guess the only other one I would float out there is like.
If they're both hitting, that's a crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the space is great. I like the physical size that Pat brings on the defensive end. He also, I mean, like, you can correct me if I'm wrong, if anybody out there in Clemmer Nation thinks I'm an idiot, but, like, from the last couple of games, in the limited minutes that he's played, I thought on defense he's looked really pretty solid. He hasn't been getting blown by, so I think
hasn't been as egregious, is it?
Hasn't been as egregious as sometimes even some Trez minutes are. Granted, though, that is a much larger sample size. There's
definitely
a lot more minutes,
yeah.
So you do see a lot more mistakes. I also am not opposed to the idea, though, of... Well, I mean, I guess that's the reason they have Green still on the bench, is to have him in a front court next to Trez.
Trez, yeah.
But no, I think when opposing teams go small, Trez is fine to stay on the floor, especially just for the potent offense that he brings.
Yes. Real quick, we got a couple more of these bad Larrys. Danny H. has been bummed out this year. He says, I was really looking forward to the defense this year. I thought it was going to be a lockdown perimeter defense a la 97 Bulls. Why do you think it has been underperforming? I'm not losing hope, but it's hard to not be disappointed when the other LA team just keeps winning. To the end point... I can kind of see where you're coming from, big dog. But to everything else, we're currently sitting at the sixth best defensive rating in the league at 106.97, while the number two defensive rating is 105.38. So things are still pretty good.
Yeah.
I think it's also continuity, because the biggest thing with defense is learning where other guys are going to be and learning how to play your roles, and you can't do that without practice time.
I agree.
It's going to get there. He hasn't lost hope, which I appreciate, Danny.
I think that it's already looking a lot better, but yeah, like you said, I mean, it's underperforming because there's just unfamiliarity. And
one of our defensive anchors, you know, takes time out of the lineup sometimes.
Yeah, and also I just do think that communication maybe wasn't there early on. I think that we see... You know, even at the top, like, we didn't see Kawhi audibly communicating at times early in the season.
For sure.
And I think that we've seen that a lot more now. So I definitely do think that it's getting a lot better.
Last one, Mr. Swang and Bang, frequent Twitter Tuesday contributor. We appreciate it. Has a crowd idea real quick. What is your opinion on adopting the Smooth and King Arena standing until our team scores concept? I would change and do it at the beginning of every quarter and expect fans, benches, coaches, and trainers to all participate.
I want to take it a step further. Stand not just up, on your seat, jump until we score our first point.
You like a Duke defense type situation.
Yep.
I appreciate Mr. Swangenbang's almost authoritarian approach to this idea. where he expects the benches, coaches, and trainers to all participate.
They should be
as
standing
well.
On the bench and jumping.
I like it. I also like the idea of being quiet until the team scores 5 points.
Why five?
There's just a limit to it. A couple teams do it where, like, they, and in college, where, like, they don't cheer until the team breaks 10 points. And then, like, you go crazy. Very weird.
Call it 20.
Hey, call it 40. coming up after this, we're going to be talking a Trez dedicated shaving segment. But if you're a listener on this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Clippers is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Clippers fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Local fans love to support local businesses. We'll do watch parties. It's a good time. You only have to give us a couple of highlights. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. Let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising.
All right, so it's shaving times. We have a Trez dedicated shavings.
The timeline on Twitter, which I do spend much too much time on, but today it was flooded with trade Trez talk, pointing out of deficiencies in his game more so than usual. Not that I'm saying that there aren't deficiencies in his game, but today it felt like everyone was really like, let's pile on and why a trade would be a good idea.
Man, bummer for him.
But here's how it started. He had a deleted Instagram story, which, if you follow Trez on Instagram, oh, you're used to seeing these deleted stories, that said, it was just text. Everyone in the world has something to say about Trez and what he can and can't do and what I'm worth. That was then deleted. So people were like, oh, God, what's happening? 98% of players are all available to be traded right now.
Mm-hmm.
And people were kind of losing their minds. And then it was just kind of this avalanche of like, well, if we had to trade Trez, it kind of makes sense.
Yes.
Big picture wise. So I'm just going to LA Clippers film, which if you're listening to this, you're probably following them, but you absolutely should be following them if you're not. Fantastic analysis. I learned a bunch from that account. He said, all I will say today about Trez trade stuff is that locking yourself long term into a center that can't play the four, defender shoot threes at the price tag he's going to command is not a good idea. He's so talented, but come playoff time when teams are playing as hard as Trez, when Kawhi and Paul George and Lou are playing 40 minutes a night, he won't be as valuable. You just can't find starting fives on chip teams that can't protect the rim, and that makes me terribly uncomfortable. I also think it would be hard as hell to get off a $100 million Trez deal, given how much draft equity the Clippers have already lost.
No.
Harsh words.
Picks.
Justin Russo, fly by night, again, must follow. Here's how I view it. At the end of the day, Harrell is a 6'7 center that gets by on athleticism and energy. As much as he's helped the team, you can find someone who can do his job for much less and recoup value on the trade market. It's not a nice thing to say, but it's true. How much are you willing to pay a 6'7 energy big that isn't a rim protector and isn't a rebounder? Because once we get into that 16, 17, 18 million range, it's looking grim.
So
pretty, it was just like, I posted a video of it, but it was like getting punched in the face with like just Trez, just like stuff.
Well, the thing is, I mean, this has kind of been, you know, an under the radar worry all season long.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I don't disagree with a lot of these points.
Yeah. Last year of a Trez deal. And realistically, with the way the free agent market looks this summer, with, you know, the amount of spend that we already have committed to a couple of guys, it seems harder and harder to retain Trez if he gets up to that, like, Domantas Sabonis type
range. That's 16, 17, 18.
20.
Yeah, that 20 range. I mean, that thing that Justin said of, you know, it's, what do you say? It's not nice to say, but it's true. Offensively, Trez, phenomenal. You know what I mean? Like,
I know, but we've
inside the paint. No, yeah, like, so inside the paint, it's there. The energy, it brings everything up for the team. You can't put a price tag on that. Those intangibles are amazing, and they're all there. But, you know, he's not really a threat outside of 6.5 feet.
Which is fine.
Which is
fine.
In
a vacuum, that's fine.
In a vacuum, that's fine. But then,
like, some of the rebounding concerns are real. I do think that he does bring other things defensively. You know, he's taking the most charges in the league.
Yes. He has the hustle plays.
Yeah.
And someone on Twitter was, I can't remember their name, I'm so sorry if they're listening, hit us up. They were talking about how maybe some of Trez's defensive liabilities that get pointed out, or maybe because he's on the floor with Lou sometimes.
I don't know if that's true. But
I don't know, maybe, but I can see where the logic is.
But it, you know, it doesn't help anything for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's something to think about. It made me realize that, yeah, Trez is definitely one of our most tradable assets, despite him being unrestricted after this year.
Something is also up with Trez this year, and we haven't talked about it on the show.
But something's up.
Something is off with his
demeanor. It feels different. It feels different this year.
Something is off with his demeanor on the court with his people fellow
noticed.
Teammates.
Yeah.
Something is very off with his media persona.
It comes together, though, when it's playing. That's the other thing, too. It's like we see them smiling, and they have good interactions, obviously.
Yes.
But the tenseness sometimes, you're kind of like, whoa. He has very strong vibrations.
Yeah.
Trez commands a room with his energy. Like, it's palpable, I would say.
Yes.
Something to keep an eye on. This opens up one of the current other hottest Clippers Twitter subject, which is trading for Chris Paul, which I think kind of started as a meme.
This is a joke.
And now has turned into a real thing. Lucas Hahn wrote a fantastic piece for 213 Hoops. Go check them out. Basically starts with Bev and Mo for the salary to work. And then Magruder and Rome would be added as well, plus a pick. And then I did this as a kind of a litmus test on Twitter. Bev, Mo, Lou, and Trez work straight up for Chris Paul. And I put it on Twitter to see if anyone agreed with that idea. And you know what? Not a single human being did. And I appreciate that, Clippers Twitter. This would be such a big swing to take.
Not even a big swing. This would be idiotic.
Damn.
This is idiotic.
This is such a crazy trade. It's also just so funny that we would just like be switching teams with OKC.
Yeah. And once again, like in a vacuum, Chris Paul on the Clippers, interesting idea.
Oh, the thing is like Chris Paul with that starting five, it's just mind-blowing.
But we know the injury history.
We know the injury history.
We know the locker room issues.
I actually would not be as worried about those because I think with a team with Kawhi and Paul George, that's like a situation that Chris Paul hasn't been in before.
It is a closer match to his mentality, I would guess.
And like, you know, Kawhi especially, well, Kawhi only has done it.
Yeah.
He's gotten there to the top of the mountain. No, I think this is such a crazy trade.
Yeah, it's
absurd. It would feel like a desperation trade. I don't know how I'd feel. I feel so conflicted.
I would rather trade for an injured Kyle Lowry.
Oh, wow. Bold.
Well, I mean, he's only got 1 year left on his deal.
That's fair. We got to give a couple five-star review shout-outs. That's about wraps up in shavings, I think. Got a couple five-star review shout-outs. Thank you guys so much. On iTunes, you can do that. You can subscribe. You can review. We'll read it on the air. MinCity94 said they left a review. They also left a question. They feel Trez's playing time puts a ceiling on Zoo's development. If Trez is re-signed, how many years should the Clippers try and sign him for? Will, what do you think?
There's no way he signs a deal for less than four.
That was kind of my thought, too. Rich Paul is his agent. Thank you for the question and the review. We got to give a shout-out to Six Richters for the five-star review. Said they found the pod this summer and enjoy Love, Marry, Kill.
Hey, that's our first enjoy.
Thanks a lot, Big Dog. We really appreciate it. That wraps up for today. You can find us at Spotify, Deezer, iTunes. Again, please rate, subscribe, review. We'll read it.
We'd love to read it on air.
We'd love to read it on air. Wednesday's episode, we're going to have a recap of the hopeful victory over the Mavs. We're going to have a preview of that second night of a back-to-back against the Hawks and a classic What You Say Wednesday poll, so keep an eye out for that on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Uptake. Appreciate you.